It is good to be here today and to fill in for Pastor Mike. And this message is God's been preparing on me for a few months now, and I knew the time was going to get to come whenever I was going to have the opportunity to be up here, so I've kind of been working on it for months. Not saying that it's going to be very good or not, but I've been working on it a while. And if my message had a title today, it would be in the form of a question, and it's, are you experiencing a true relationship with the Father? Now, I'm not talking about are you saved, have you accepted Christ, but I'm talking about a true relationship, a true walking, talking, one-on-one, hand-in-hand relationship with God. A lot of times, us as Christians, we get saved and that's where it ends. You know, we don't depend on God for our needs, we don't depend on God for our wants, and, you know, very rarely do we have any kind of relationship with God other than to say that we're saved. And I think a lot of that is because we serve a God that we know nothing about, a God that we don't understand, and a God that we don't try to comprehend. I'm not up here today to tell you that I understand everything, how God works. I don't understand, you know, the magnificence of God. But what I do know is that I'm learning more and more to understand Him and to have a real relationship with Him, a walking and talking relationship. He's for real to me on a day-to-day basis. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 7. Verses 7 through 11. Like I said, we look at God as, sometimes I think, as just some being that sits up on high on His throne waiting to cast judgment on us, a God that doesn't care about, you know, the things we're going through, a God that doesn't care about our needs and our wants, and a God that just sits up on high waiting to punish us for sins. And that's false. That's a lie. That's not God at all. That's not the God I serve. And we're going to talk about today. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things who ask of Him?" Excuse me. How many of you in here have children, have kids? Raise your hand. Almost everybody. And we know how we look at our kids. I've got a 3-year-old son who he drives me nuts sometimes, but I love that little thing. I mean, I love him more than I can even explain. And, you know, I love him, and I want to not only just meet his needs and do just the bare minimum, but I want to go above and beyond that and meet his wants. I want to take care of him. I want to be his provider. I want to be his everything that he needs. And I know that if I look at my son that way, and that's how I feel being evil, God says, "You who are evil know how to give gifts. Think of me." Our Father looks at us the same way. He wants a real relationship with us. We serve a God that wants to bless us, give us good gifts, not just wants to meet our needs, but wants to bless us. And I'm not talking about a health, wealth, and prosperity message that some people say, "Oh, well, as long as you're just walking with God, everything's going to be all right. You're never going to have problems. You're never going to experience hardships," because that's a lie. That's false. Even Christ, I mean, you look at someone like Paul, he spent the second half of his life following God. It was constantly just facing battles. But God wants a true relationship with us. Galatians 4:4-7, I'll read that here. Says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive an adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." See, Abba, Father, I don't know if any of you know what that means, but if you were to put that in today's term, that'd be kind of like daddy. That's the relationship that our God wants to have with us, is daddy. You see, I've got a dad who, to me, he's the best dad I could ever ask for. I wouldn't trade him for $1 million. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't trade him for all the money in the world. And I feel like I can go to my daddy at any time and, you know, tell him if I've got problems or worries or this and that. And, you know, he's just a great man and he wants to take care of me. But that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. He wants us to be able to call him daddy. Not, you know, we look at him as just, oh my gosh, he's God just sitting up there waiting to judge us, like I said before. And that's not the case. He wants to be daddy to us. He wants to take care of all of our needs. And, you know, and when you hear daddy, it's a little bit different than just father. You know, daddy is something when you picture kids, you know, my son runs through the house saying daddy. You know, and that's a little bit different than just father that we pick up in the Bible. And so God wants to do these things for us. But the problem that we as Christians sometimes understand is it's a two-way street. You know, we can't expect God to do all these wonderful, miraculous things for us if we're not walking according to his will. Scripture a little bit or sometimes compares our relationship with him to a marriage. And why he did that, I think it's easy because God likes to take things that we can understand here on this earth and put it in perspective with our Heavenly Father. And when you look at a marriage, it's more than just a one day a week type of thing. If you go through your marriage all week long and you're not talking to your husband or your wife or doing good things for them, and then all of a sudden you've got a need that once met, it's not going to happen. And that's the same thing with God. Being a Christian and having a true relationship with God is more than just showing up on Sunday. That's easy. We can show up on Sunday and we can say, oh, well, look at me. I'm here on Sunday. I'm putting my money in the plate. You know, I'll stand up and pray and I'll volunteer and do all these things. But if you don't have a daily relationship with God, it's all for nothing. You know, you're not going to impress God by what you do. You're not going to impress God with how much money you give or how much time you give to the church. It's about your daily relationship with him. And we can't expect to tune in once a week and have a booming relationship with God. It's just not how it works. But you see, we'll see Christians who they walk around, they say, oh man, you know, my marriage is in shambles and my finances are in shambles and I hate my job and I hate the people at my job and my children are unruly. And I've got all these problems. I feel like, you know, the whole world's coming down on me. Where is God at? You know, but see, God says, you know, you have to put me first. This is a two-way street. I'm not going to provide all these things for you if you aren't putting the time in. Is God real to you? Are you having a real relationship with God? Like I said, it doesn't matter that you're just here on Sundays and you put the time in and you do this and that. God wants Monday through Saturday. That's what matters. When we're here on Sundays, this is just about our God just worshiping him. He wants a daily relationship with us. And lots of times, it's easy. We'll put God on the back burner until things go wrong. And then we're like, oh, well, where are you at now, God? And he says, hey, that's not how it works. I want to be with you when times are good. Matthew 6, 25 through 33. I'll read it here real quick. A little dry. Says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, see, we'll look at that scripture, and we'll say, God's supposed to meet my needs. God's supposed to take care of all these things, my bills, my finances, food, all this stuff. Why isn't he doing it? I'm still struggling. You know, I'm still having these problems. But you see, if you go ahead and read the next verse, there's a big but there, B-U-T. Underline it, make it bold. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom. God's not entitled to you. God doesn't owe you anything. And God's not just going to be there and meet all your needs and take care of all your problems when you're not first seeking God. It's important to seek God first. God will meet your needs. And he'll even go above and beyond, but seek God first. You see, I'm relying to learn on God for everything. Our original text there says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. You see, I ask God for everything. And some of you say, oh, well, you can't ask God for toys and this and that. But you see, the closer you get with God, and when you get close with God, you tend to start asking things in a different perspective than, you know, when you're just saying, oh, Lord, I need a car, but I want a four-wheel drive, four-door, I want it red, I want all these things. Because I've done that, and I've been there, and God gave me the four-wheel drive truck, and I couldn't afford it, and, you know, had to give it back, basically. You see, for the first 4 years of our marriage, and I'll just give you a couple examples here, and like I said, this isn't bragging on me, this is just bragging on God. For the first 4 years of our marriage, we only had one car, and it was tough. You know, it's just miserable having one car, especially when you got a toddler that doesn't want to be in the house all day long. So in order for us to kind of make it work, the days that she'd need the car, I'd have to go home at lunch, she'd have to drive me back and then go home, then pick me up, and it was kind of a mess. But once we rededicated our lives to Christ about 5 or 6 months ago, we said, all right, Lord, we want to be obedient to you, but there's certain things that we're going to pray for. You know, you saying you're going to meet our needs, we're going to pray for things. So we started praying for a car. And we had about $1,000 that we could spend on this car, $1,000 exactly, to be in fact about it. And so we started looking on Craigslist and on the internet and things like that, and I started looking at these cars for $1,000. I thought, man, I'm not letting my wife and son get in one of these things. You know, this is crazy. I'm not going to find a car for $1,000. But we stayed diligent, and we stayed in prayer, and we said, Lord, we don't care what car you give us. We don't care what accessories and all this we have. We just want four wheels that runs and is going to take care of my wife. So anyway, it didn't take long. When you're obedient, God acts fast. A few weeks went by, and Ash and her mom were at Walmart walking in the back of Walmart. They were in the back, and I've got a buddy that works at Walmart. He works up front at the bank. Anyway, he just happened to kind of be loafing back there and ran into him and said, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, nothing. What about you? And he's kind of going through his phone, and he said, honestly, I'm looking for someone to buy my car. I've got a new one picked out, you know, that I want to get, but I want like a down payment. And this is, like I said, this is one of my best friends up here. I know him. I've been in the car. I know it's reliable. Like I said, we had $1,000 we could spend. She said, well, how much do you want for it? What do you think he said? $1,000 on the dot. And so we got his car. And not only did I get his car, but I got it from someone I trust, a friend of mine who I knew wasn't going to just give me a clunker. And, you know, just on top of that, a couple months went by and her car started kind of overheating a little bit. And, you know, I thought, oh, man, this is the last thing we need is car problems. Lord, you gave us this car, and I don't believe you gave it to me to just have to indebt me to this car. And so anyway, it's like on a Saturday, I got a check for $500 free and clear that was given to me. And I thought, oh, boy, you know, we're going to get ready to go on vacation for a couple days, just get away. I can't wait. Well, this car had kind of started overheating. And so then I took the check, and I thought, man, you know, this is going to stink if I go blow it on this car. Lord, you know what we need, and you know my wants. Please just take care of this. Well, anyway, long story short, we called around a couple places, and it was going to be like $530 to fix this car. Now, I was pretty mad at God, and I think sometimes it's okay to be mad at God. When you get close with God, there's times when I complain to God, and I stomp my feet, and I whine and cry like a little baby, but I was upset. You know, we had a rough year. We just got this $500. We were ready to take some kind of mini vacation. No, you know, this car breaks down, and it was like $526 or 30 something. I don't know exactly. So we called around, and everybody said the same price pretty much. And so I went, cashed the check, went, took out another $30, you know, to cover it all. And I was mad. I was mad at God. I was complaining a little bit. And I walk in, and the guy gave me the keys, and he said, I believe we agreed on $500 even. And you see, God gave me that check for $500 even 2 days before my car even broke down. Now, you can say, oh, well, that's luck and, you know, circumstances, and you just got lucky. But no, I don't believe that, and I don't even have to argue that with you. God gave me a check. He said, I'll meet your needs. He's not always going to meet every one of my wants. We didn't get to go on vacation. We didn't get to get away, but I didn't have to pay a dime for a $500 fix on my car that we still have today. That's what God does when you are walking in obedience with him. But you see, when you walk in obedience with God, it's more than just having a daily relationship in prayer and reading your Bible. Those things are the most important things to have that. But you see, it also matters just the small things that we think nothing about. The TV shows you watch, the music you listen to, the jokes you tell at work. You see, my favorite band in the whole planet has been for a decade, and I've seen them on every single tour, and I've been front row of every single tour except for this one. but as Nickelback. Some of you may not have heard of them, but they like to talk about the drinking and the strippers and the fighting and all stuff. I just love them. I mean, and I know that's not right, but you know what? When I made a commitment to God 5 or 6 months ago and said, I'm going to give you everything, he said, that has to stop. That's got to stop because it's trash, and Satan only needs an inch to get in, and he'll take a mile from you. And, you know, I don't want those things in my house. And there's times when, you know, I'll be driving along the road and somebody have their truck window down and I'll hear it and I'll think, man, I'd just like to go home and put that CD in. But as bad as I want to do it, I know that the consequences of my sin is not worth it. And I'm not going to do it and I don't want it in my house. But you see, I'm not up here, you know, to tell you that I've got it all figured out. Like I said, you know, there's days when I wake up and I read my Bible and man, I'm just excited to see what God's going to do that day. And there's been times I've texted my dad on the way to work, and I'm like, man, I'm excited. I feel like I could just call in sick and go stand on a street corner and preach. And of course, he'll text me back and say, well, why don't you preach at work? At least you'll get paid for it. You know, he raised me working. You know, it wasn't just sit at home and play video games. I had to work. He's a pastor as well. But you see, so there's times, though, when we got to be very careful and keep our eyes on Christ. Because it doesn't matter what kind of spiritual high I get in the morning, there's lots of days where by like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I start thinking my overwhelming workload, and I start thinking about the rent that needs due and the electric bills that needs due, and we still need groceries, and I start thinking about all these things, and I start to take my eyes off God, and I start to doubt, and I start to feel like Peter when he was walking on the water to Jesus, and he started to notice the waves moving and things like that, and he began to sink. That's how I feel, you know. It doesn't matter what kind of spiritual high you're on. Once you take your eyes off Christ, you're going to begin to sink. God wants a daily relationship with us. See, comprehending how much God really loves you, you can't comprehend it. You just have to accept it. But you see, God gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. A real life man came to this real life planet, took a real life beating, and hung on a real life cross. That really happened. It's not debatable. It's history. It happened. You know, and God sent him. And when I think about that, I think there's maybe five people on this earth, give or take three or four, but probably five people on this earth that I would willingly, foreshadowing no, go and be executed on a cross for. Maybe five people that I would take that cross for. That's it. But when I think about how many I would give my son up for, there isn't a person on this planet that I'd send my son to die for. Not one. And God did that. He loved us so much that he gave his son for our sins. And he died a brutal death. But you see, by doing that, he was offered up as a sacrifice, a one-time gift. You accept Christ once and it's done. It's finished. It's completed. You've got your certificate to get into heaven. It's done. And that's what God did for us. You see, as I look around here week after week, our numbers, it seems like they're either dwindling even a little bit or whatever, but the church is just never full. It just isn't. And you know, we'll sit and we'll joke and we'll try to explain it away and say, oh, well, people are on vacations and it's summertime and, you know, there's this going on and that going on. But the problem is, it's the same people here week after week. You see, it's our job as a church to get out there and tell other people about Christ and to get other people here. We'll sit back and say, well, the pastor must not be doing a good job. There's no one here today. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's our job to tell our coworkers, our friends, our buddies, whatever it may be, hey, come on down to church. You know, it's nothing big. You just sit and listen and then go home. You know, if we can get them here, God will get them saved. That's how it works. But you see, I've been in churches that were booming and had to go to like 200. They had like 200 people, so they had to go to two services just to fit them all in. I've been in those churches to where they've got to build the big buildings. But you see, it takes a church that is dedicated and puts God first, number one. Lord, in our personal lives, we'll put you first, but as a church, we'll put you first. You know, week after week, I sit up here and I look at this altar come altar call time, and other than, you know, three or four times in the past 6-7 months, there's just this problem with this altar, and I thought all week long, what is it? Well, what is always empty. Our altar here is always empty, and there's no reason for that. If we want to be a church that's going to grow and a church that's going to get the lost in here, we need to be a praying people. God likes prayer, and God will answer prayers. And you may say, oh, well, you know, things are just fine in my life. I don't need to be at that altar. Okay, but do you know somebody that's lost? Prayer works. I've got buddies that are lost. I should be up here praying for them. If you want the church to grow, we should be up here praying for it. This altar shouldn't always be empty. This is a sanctuary. God can answer your prayers back there, wherever. But I'm saying, when you step out on faith and you say, Lord, I don't care who sees me. I don't care what they think of me. I'm going to come forward and I'm going to lay it down here, whether it's your finances, your marriage, you know, whatever it may be. Come up to the altar and lay it down. God will take care of it. I promise you. In closing, if our song leader and stuff want to come up, we'll have an altar call. Do you have a real relationship with God? Is God real to you? Are you just saved? Do you just trust Him just enough to be saved? Or do you walk and talk with God daily? And I'm not talking about a Lord, we thank you for this food, we ask that you bless it, see you tomorrow. That's not it. I'm talking about talking through God throughout the day, daily, being in the Word, being in prayer. If you're not in the Word, I would say daily, but some of you might be like, whoa, that's too much. But if you're not in the Word constantly on a consistent basis, you don't have the right relationship that you need with God and that God wants to have with you. So anyway, that's all I've got, and I'd invite you to come. If you got needs, you know people that are lost, now would be the time to do it.